Hey everybody, it's Brian Zimmerman, editor of Jazz's magazine, here to introduce a very special episode of Jazz's Not What You Think. Joining Jazz's publisher Michael Fagan on the podcast today is rock legend Carlos Santana. The guitarist first rose to fame nearly five decades ago as a leader of the rock group Santana, through which he pioneered a brand of driving psychedelic rock that fused sounds from funk, jazz, blues, and the traditional music of South America, Africa, and the Caribbean. His performance at the era-defining Woodstock Festival in 1969 set the course for a career that would find him expanding his style even further. And by the beginning of the 1970s, he had become an integral member of the budding jazz fusion movement, crossing paths and exchanging ideas with figureheads like Miles Davis and John McLaughlin. In 1973, Santana and McLaughlin would join forces for the collaborative album Love, Devotion, Surrender, which featured their respective bands, Santana and the Mahavishnu Orchestra, playing a hybrid program that brought a psychedelic jazz sensibility to songs by John Coltrane and traditional gospel music. In June, the group Santana released its 25th studio album, Africa Speaks, on Concord Records. The album was a result of a 10-day recording session at the home studio of acclaimed producer Rick Rubin in Malibu, California, and grew from the guitarist's longstanding interest in African music. The album features Miami singer Buika, whose polyglot style covers flamenco, Afro-Cuban music, and jazz, and features songs in multiple languages. Jazz, however, is a constant through line, as it has been in Santana's life and career from the very beginning. In this interview, Santana probes deep into his long-running affinity for the music of Miles Davis and Wayne Shorter, and recounts stories about life at the threshold of jazz and rock. We're going to get into that in a minute, but first I'd like to thank one of our sponsors, CoBuzz.com, a streaming service that offers the most comprehensive CD-quality hi-fi catalog in the world, as well as the largest selection of streaming music and studio-quality high-res. You can enjoy unlimited streaming of all your music from just $9.99 per month with no strings attached. Just visit on.cobuzz.com/jazzis to learn more. All right, it's time to get into today's interview between Jazz's publisher Michael Fagan and rock legend Carlos Santana.
Hello, Carlos. How are you?
Oh, I'm happy and grateful and grateful and happy.
Well, I am grateful to have you with me today. And I wanted to first say that, you know, I was one of millions who listened to the Woodstock package. I'm old enough. Bought the LPs back in, I think it was around 1970, to check out some of my favorite bands. And then I think when I got to maybe the second LP, and maybe on side B, The Soul Sacrifice came on, and it stopped me in my tracks, and I believe it's changed my musical appreciation forever.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, and tell me about that. That it seemed to be you've talked about this before, but a seminal moment in your life where things began to change.
Yeah, you know, it's really something to witness, multidimensional, outside the box, non-local things happen. When I say non-local is, for example, those things they put on the horses in Central Park so they don't get distracted by calves, and they just look straight, you know. And that's usually the perception of humans, you know. They're very, very linear look, the way they look at life. Woodstock, to me, it opened all the filters of the perceptions, and because I got to witness, you know, thousands and thousands of people with unity and harmony and no violence, no fights, no this, no that, just shelling, sharing granola or a blanket or a hug or something, you know. And it was very endearing to see humans having the capacity to coexist with grace and honor, and all the things that the squares call, oh, them freaking hippies, man, they're dirty and they're like disorganized. And to me, what was really beautiful is the explosion of energy of something that was like, they call it a chaos disaster, like a divine disaster. And out of that divine disaster, it gave birth to us. When we went on stage, you know, there was it's basically chaos, you know, on stage and off stage, and people trying to like, they were trying to make sense of orders. They were trying to make sense and order out of something that you're not supposed to. It was out of control. You know, there was no more fences. People were coming in, and there was no front gate or back. You know, it's all just a glorious, beautiful, sacred mess. And then we come on, and, you know, inwardly, the musicians, myself, we're a culmination of everything that we're listening to. Like, Greg Raleigh listens to the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, you know, and then you have Michael Street, who listens to Coltrane and Miles, and you know, and I'm listening to the blues and Otis Rush. And we're all coming in together, and you churn it all together, and it's like making some kind of juice out of all the things that we love. And the people in the audience, you know, when they heard us, you could just feel that humans respond to positive energy. And the band had a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
Wow. Well, you know, the rest is history. You became, you know, one of the biggest rock stars. But I also always considered you, even long before I was interested in jazz, as a jazz guy. You seem to love jazz, obviously, you know, with Gabor Zabo and things that you've done musically. You seem to have that jazz thing that is so unique.
Well, thank you. You know, as I heard from Wayne Shorter describing what jazz is to him, he says, to me, jazz is what is called I dare you, I double dare you to go outside what you know. You know, some people play jazz, and now it's become jazz almost like, you know, like a light beer or something, you know, something cute, clever, and something that you learn in school, you know, jazz changes that you learn, you know, but that's not life, you know. Real jazz, yeah, it comes, certain elements come from New Orleans, but or Europe, from classical music. The real musicians don't even want to call it that, like Charlie Parker and Miles and Coltrane. They call it life. They call it improvising life. But the main thing, again, going back to Wayne Shorter, is I dare you. I double dare you. That's the real terminology for the real jazz.
And you really head in that direction, back with Carvanciai, where it was even from jazz critics, whether they matter or not, it was considered a jazz fusion record. And you have such great musicians that have come through your band. You sort of remind me of the guitar version of Miles Davis, in that so many people went off to do wonderful things by coming through Santana.
I like having consistently a perpetual thirst for adventure. You know, like a 7-year-old child that don't want to sit on a chair and wants to go outside and climb a tree or, you know, jump over a fence, you know. To me, that's mainly what I like about my life, is that I don't have anyone telling me, I did have people telling me or trying to tell me what can I do and what I shouldn't do and all that kind of stuff. But I follow my heart, and my heart says, hey, you know what? You're here to learn and have fun, you know, and sometimes when you learn and have fun, sometimes you may wind up, you know, in the desert for a little bit, you know. But you'll find a water hole, you know, and you know this. Clive Davis and Bill Graham, you know, and all the mentors that I had, they were trying to put on me their fears, you know, or their concerns, you know. But there's no singles in here, and I'm like, okay, you know, but we're gonna go this way anyway, you know. But there's not a single within 2,000 miles of here, you know. And like, you're not gonna get on the radio anymore. And I said, okay, you know, but I'm gonna hang around with Alice Coltrane, and, you know, and Wayne and Herbie and Miles, and learn something from them firsthand. I mean, what could be more beneficial in the long run in my life, you know, than keep cranking, you know, rubber stamping ahead and try to replicate Abraxas over and over and over and over, you know. Sure. And so eventually they came around to, like, you know, to understand that I call it taking the hamster out of the cage, you know, because the hamster, mm-hmm. when you use the cage, it just goes around and around and around and around this thing, you know. I don't like that. Today more than ever, you know, it feels like we could explore just a ballads album, or we can do something with Manu Dibango and Manu Chao and Sting or something, you know. It's all who wants to work with, who wants to not even work, who wants to share with me, you know. That's what happened with Supernatural or anything. From mm-hmm. Michael Trees to everything that I learned, it's who wants to co-join with me in this adventure.
Yeah, and you use the child analogy. You play well with others, you know, in the sandbox. I mean, the collaborations that you've done, when I go back and look at your recordings, your live discography, whatever you want to call it, it's really amazing the number of different types of musical styles and musicians that you've collaborated with. And I wonder if that is one of the secrets to your success, and that is you don't have any boundaries.
Correct. When you put a puzzle, when I used to do that with my family and my children, we used to have a big, big puzzle in the table. And then, of course, I invited them to start with the edges, you know, the frame. And then we work up to the middle, you know. With music, for me, there's no edges. There's no anything like that, you know. It's exploring right now African music and Sonny Chirac and Alice Coltrane and Pete Cozy and Larry Young, you know, and Sandra. The only person, quite frankly, that has this kind of a spirit of daringness with glee is Derek Trux.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is still almost like painting by numbers, you know.
Yep.
And with all respect to them, but that's what it feels like, that's what it sounds like, you know. And Derek and I, we're going to do an album soon, around the corner. Derek and I, we don't look at music or life like that, you know. We're fascinated with our spirit being imprinted in different things, like I said, from Sun Ra to Sonny Chirac or something, you know. And I love him because he's very, very open, and he's not disturbed or bothered by anything you put in front of him. You know, he's just very, very he crystallizes everything before he plays, without even thinking about it. And that's what I love about Wayne and Herbie and Miles. You know, they don't paint by numbers. You know, life is not like that. Life is a humongous, intangible, formless, nameless spirit. That's the best kind of music. I'm very blessed because we're able to put that in smooth, you know. So I got both. I had, some people would say, I have my cake and eat it, and I eat it too, you know. I get to hang around, you know, Buddy Guy and Otis Rush when Otis was here, and at the same time hang out with Pharoah Sanders and Tony Williams. And they all embrace me and invite me to share with them. And that's the biggest badge of honor of all, you know, that Kenny Burrell or Gabor Sabo, all the musicians, when they see me, you know, they don't look at me like I'm, you know, a threat or an enemy or anything. They look at me like, this guy is really thirsty and curious, so I'm going to share with him gladly the things that turn me on, so that, you know, they're not afraid to turn me on to what turns them on.
Hey, it's Brian again with just a few more words on KoBuzz. Now, you might already know that KoBuzz offers the biggest catalog of hi-fi and hi-res albums in the world, both for new releases and specialized genres. But for hundreds of thousands of albums, KoBuzz also includes all the information you need to recreate the appeal of a real CD. We're talking the names of musicians, the producers, lyrics. There's everything you need to know to appreciate your favorite albums. KoBuzz is compatible with all types of audio equipment and also provides advice on your hi-fi equipment purchases. Not only that, but every week, KoBuzz publishes interactive articles that widen your musical knowledge, and you can even download these hi-res files to listen to in offline mode, so you can enjoy your music even when you don't have internet access. Subscriptions to KoBuzz start at just $9.99 per month. Again, visit on.kobuzz.com/jazzis to learn more. All right, let's get back to the interview.
Turning to your latest project, Africa Speaks, featuring your wonderful wife, Cindy, who we've featured in Jazzes many times, just a really extremely talented drummer. And I hear her on this album, again, an evolution. I don't think I've heard her play drums like this before. This is kind of this phase of Cindy's drumming career, and she just nailed it.
Yeah, we both learn so much from each other. You know, she teaches me a lot from all the incredible things she learned from Art Blakey and Tony Williams and Elvin Jones and Roy Haynes, you know, because she's a drummer, you know. Mm-hmm. And I try to share with her the things that I learned from life, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a perfect combination. And the blessing of Buica, you know, finding Buica and Rick Rubin.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Rick Rubin, this when I hear this album, and I purposely don't play it for like about a month and a half sometimes, or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And when I do listen to it, I go, damn, there's some serious scary energy in here, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the sound of the guitar and Buica, my guitar sounds piercing like teeth and claws that are ready to like tear something up, you know? And at first, I tell you, man, I was really concerned, almost afraid that people were not going to like my guitar because it sounds really viciously ready to devour something and tear it apart. But then my other voice said, Carlos, just be quiet. This is good. You know, this is, you know, you can do an album with some sweet sounds and a ballad and really be smooth and tender and, you know. This goes perfectly with the drums and Buica's voice. So I just told myself, you know, don't overthink it, you know, because the guitar sounds, I got them because I got to overdub very, very little. They're the first takes. We recorded 49 songs in 10 days. So I love what we played, what I played, the first take. And sometimes mm-hmm. the sound, as I said, is a little overbearingly raw. And now I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's got a bite, but it feels good. Yeah, Buica is definitely someone who I followed. And you can expect the unexpected. I actually know her from her, you know, she's done everything, every kind of genre, but I know her from the jazz side. She even did something once, you probably heard it, with Pat Metheny. And she's really something, and that was a really wonderful choice. And I think it does make Africa Speaks very special.
No, I never heard her with Pat Metheny. I'm going to look at that album.
It wasn't on an album call. So I think it was, she had... Pat saw her talent, and they did something together. And I got a video of it a couple of years ago. And I said, who is this woman? She's incredible. But, yeah, and then I guess since we're on the subject of this album and family, Salvador, your son, is on this album as well, and he's got a career that's taken off.
Yeah, I'm really, really grateful. I love Salvador's vision and where he wants to go. And, you know, it's a family thing. My daughters, they're getting into music. They're finally realized that it's not a profession or a job, is a way of life for us, you know. And now they have realized that they have the gift from both sides, from mom and dad. Both of our fathers, that's all they played, is just music, you know. And but I think it's important, you know, that a person learns to crystallize, you know. I had this dream on my birthday, and this is a very, very, it's important that people understand that, for John McLaughlin and myself, our dreams are visitations from people. Like, Stevie Ray visits me in my dreams. It's a visitation. On my birthday, July 20th, John Coltrane and John McLaughlin came to visit me, you know, and specifically, John McLaughlin was on stage. He was getting ready to play. And I was finding a place to sit down and listen to him. And all of a sudden, I turn around, and here comes John Coltrane straight at me, reaches out his hand to shake my hand, and I shake his hand, and he says, "Carlos, what is the purpose of divine intentionality?" And I was like, I immediately said, "To elevate those into understanding their own light." And then I woke up, you know. So he says, "What is the purpose of divine intentionality?" And I immediately said, "To elevate those, the listener, into the understanding of their own light." So when I wake up, I said, "Cindy, I just had this dream, and I could tell you what everybody was wearing, John Coltrane's shirt and John McLaughlin." As soon as I'm telling her this, my phone acknowledges that somebody's sending me something, and it's John McLaughlin. And so I said to him, "Man, I just had a dream about you and John Coltrane." And I told him the dream, and he says, "Carlos," he says, "that's really amazing that you have a visitation." He says, "Because I had a dream too. Miles came to visit me." You know? And so I giggle because for people like John McLaughlin and myself, the extraordinary is not even ordinary to us. You know, for us to have dreams that are so tangible, and I mean, in the dream, there's a specific purpose of the dream, like Coltrane asking me, "What is the purpose of divine intentionality?" And I said, "Well, to elevate people into knowing and understanding their own light." That's what music is about. Anything else, with all respect again and honor, anything else is show business and entertainment. That's a different kind of energy. And it's beautiful because people spend a lot of time and energy in the costumes and the designs, the 50 trucks, you know, to support the lights and the dancers and stuff. It's beautiful. You know, Michael Jackson, Prince, and it's like that, you know. But a musician has a different kind of, like, it's a different kind of energy, because you don't need to spend so much time and energy and money on the eye candy spectacle. You know, your note creates all of that. Your note, like Billie Holiday or John Coltrane or Mahalia Jackson or Rita, your notes is the spectacle and the tree ringing brothers and berries, you know, the lions and the cheetahs, and, you know, the notes are enough.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, what's fascinating when you say that is this isn't something that you just stumbled upon. I remember reading about you back in the 80s, and even when you were interviews in the late 60s and early 70s, you had a very early, arguably precocious understanding of your spirituality. Of course, now we're older, so we look back at things and a lot of us get spiritual. But at a young age, you were a pretty spiritual guy.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel that my mom and dad instilled in me the knowingness that it's not chance, luck, or fortune. It's grace. It's very peculiar that a lot of people feel threatened, for some reason by the things that I say. And so there's many musicians, people who have said, why don't you just shut up and play your guitar, And I always say, well, because I have something to say beyond the guitar, And maybe you don't have fucking nothing to say with the guitar or without the guitar, But I have something to say, man. And what I have to say is that anyone and everyone is capable to do the impossible. Anyone and everyone can create miracles and blessings. It's not for, so that's why I talk and I say what I say. Everyone is worthy of their own light. Create beauty, man. Create art. If that bothers you, man, that's tough titty, Because I don't play music for me to hang more, things on the wall and stuff like that. I play music basically to like John McLaughlin and Coltrane. We play music to invite people to their own light, to your own intangible, incredibleness. The miracles and blessings that you can create as well. That's when music is worth being music.
Wow. Well, Carlos, your words are as inspirational as your music, and I appreciate it so much, and I know there are millions and millions of people out there that appreciate it too. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, man.
Wonderful
you
talking to you today.
Take care.
You too as well. Thanks.
Okay, and that does it for another episode of Jazz Is Not What You Think. I'd like to take a minute now to thank this episode's sponsors. They include Smoke Sessions Records. The label just released a new record by drum legend Al Foster. It's called Inspirations and Dedications. You can check it out online at smokesessionsrecords.com. Thanks also to Blue Note Records. They're currently celebrating their 80th anniversary with a bunch of cool musical initiatives. To check out everything they've got going on, visit bluenote.com. And thank you to ECM Records, which this year celebrates its 50th anniversary. They've got a new concert recording of Keith Jarrett playing solo Bach from 1987. To learn more about that album and all the other great stuff coming out on ECM, visit ecmrecords.com. Another big thanks to the online streaming service Deezer. We regularly curate playlists on this platform. To check out our latest, visit deezer.com and search for Jazz Is. Our playlists also appear on Qobuz.com, another one of our sponsors. This is a high-res streaming service that is the premier destination for audiophiles looking to stream music online. Visit Qobuz.com to learn more. Another thanks to JazzRadio.com, featuring more than 35 channels of curated jazz music for free online. Visit JazzRadio.com to check it out. Thanks also to the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark. On the calendar for them in November, a performance by Chaka Khan. It's taking place November 14th. For tickets and more info, visit njpac.org. Thanks also to Quest TV, the world's first subscription video on-demand platform dedicated to jazz and beyond. It's an online library of jazz concert videos and feature documentaries that has been called the Netflix of jazz. It was started in part by Quincy Jones and has both free and premium memberships. Visit quest.tv to learn more. That's Quest.tv to learn more. Lastly, we'd like to thank the U.S. Navy band Commodore's Jazz Ensemble, currently celebrating their 50th anniversary. They've got concert dates around the country. If you want to catch them in action, visit our website and click the Navy Band Commodore's banner. All right, that'll do it for me, everyone. Thanks again for listening to Jazz Is Not What You Think. We'll see you next time.